بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, this is our fifth session. This is our fifth session for الفقه المستوى الثاني, second level of fiqh from the Medina program. And today we want to start with a new topic that we read the description last week of ghusl min al janabah, and we discussed it in some detail. What was presented here as a description of the ghusl min al janabah, we discussed it in some detail, and we went over some of the vocabulary words and some of the technical terminology. And today, and we stopped at the point of the exercises. So today, inshallah, we want to do the exercises that's with this lesson, on page 9 and page 10. And if we still have time left, then we'll go to the next topic, which is as-salawat al-maktuba. But for now, yani we want to look at first the description of al-janaba, or al-ghusl min al-janaba, and secondly, yani we want to look at the exercises. All right. So let's first, yani just remember, yani last week, yani as a quick review, that we started out by talking about al-janaba. What is al-janaba? Yani the first thing that we talked about last week is the definition of al-janaba. Does anybody remember what is the definition of al-janaba? Nah, Mustafa. As you like. And we'll take both, but I mean, for now, you can start with either one.
All right.
طيب الحدث الأكبر نعم يعني meaning it is what anybody the big or major state of impurity نعم الحدث الأكبر هو نزول المني نعم meaning emission of semen نعم بشهوة نعم معني بشهوة we mean here what do we mean by بشهوة
sexual desire
نعم sex due to sexual excitement or some sexual يعني stimulation يعني the semen is emitted due to sexual stimulation بشهوة من الذكر والأنثى أو الأنثى meaning from the male or female نعم
بجماع
يعني due to sexual intercourse, actual sexual intercourse where there's penetration between the male and female organs نعم أو نحوه or that which is similar to it يعني some type of sexual activity. So we're saying al-janaba, it is the major state of impurity that yani comes as a result, yani the emission of semen as a result of yani shahwa, sexual excitement from the male or the female, yani that is the result of sexual intercourse or that which is like or similar to it. This is al-janaba. So we're talking about in this topic, right? Al-ghusl min al-janaba, yani الغسل من الجنابة. From this major state of impurity, how do we purify ourselves? By ghusl. Okay, so يعني what is the ghusl? يعني in brief, what do we mean by ghusl? يعني with dhamma, huh? Like a shower, يعني or washing, يعني huh?
Big
washing, يعني complete bathing of the whole body, the entire body. As opposed to al-wudu, which is what? Yani, it's only washing certain members of the body. Okay, we already talked about al-wudu. Ghusl means all the parts of the body have to be washed. Okay? So we're talking about ghusl, taking a ghusl in order to purify ourselves from this major state of impurity. And then we said that, yani, the description that we were given of this ghusl. Yani, can somebody help us with the description of ghusl? Yani, what does the description of ghusl start with? Somebody else. Now. Huniyah. But niyyah, because ghusl is an act of worship, right? A tahara is a form of purification. And this is an act of worship. Yeah, if the person is doing it for the purpose of being clean, for the sake of Allah to do some act of worship or otherwise, then yeah, we say that it requires intention, because every act of worship requires intention. And this intention, what can we say about the intention? That's very important. What do we say, Musa? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ Actions are judged according to intentions. So that means that, yani, depending on a person's intention, this will determine how their action will be judged. And we said that intentions, yani, in terms of Sharia, there are two types of intentions. Types, meaning, yani, there's intention in one area, and there's a different kind of intention in a different area, right? We said that. There's, what kind of intention do we know about? That probably you're thinking about first, Abdul Karim. Huh? Ikhlas, yani the intention of doing something sincerely for the sake, that's one type of intention. Another type of intention in terms of fiqh is the intention that a person has to perform of a certain act of worship that they're doing, that I intend to fast, or I intend to pray, or I intend to give sadaqah. The intention of what act you're intending to do, whether it's obligatory or voluntary and so on. That's a type of intention. But the intention that we're more concerned with than anything else is the intention that's related to the ikhlas, that he's doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. Okay, but both of those things are related to, yani, the topic here, intention. That a person has an intention to do this sincerely for the sake of Allah, and they also have an intention that I'm performing a ghusl. They have intention that I'm performing a ghusl, yani, bathing, taking, cleaning the whole body. Okay, so the first thing we start with is intention, and then what? And then what? Naam, Ibrahim. Yusammillah, naam, yusammillah. And then after that, yani, there's tasmiyah. And the tasmiyah, we said, is different from the basmalah, right? Somebody tell me, what is the difference between tasmiyah and basmalah? Somebody, who here? Anyway, we have Abdurrahman.
Tasmiyah is just mentioning the name of Allah,
bismillah. Naam, tasmiyah is just mentioning the name of saying bismillah. Al basmalah means to say what? Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And here we're saying just bismillah, yani tasmiyah, mention the name of Allah. Alright, okay, after that, after mentioning the name of Allah, then what? Naam, Abdul Karim. Naam, washing the hands up to the wrist 3 times. Kafayhi. Naam. Yaghsilu kafayhi thalathan. Naam, after this? After this? Naam, after washing the hands? Naam.
Pours water on the right hand.
Over the left hand?
And
naam, to make istinja, to wash the private parts. And after this? According to the description we have here, then what?
They make wudu.
Then make wudu. What kind of wudu?
Like
the complete wudu, just like the wudu that you make for salat. And after this, in our description we have what? Pouring water over the whole body. And then after this? Washing the head 3 times, pouring water over the head 3 times. And then? Moving to another place, washing the feet. And if there's a need, such as if a person was standing on soil or sand or something like that, then that place that they would be standing in would be unclean, and therefore they should move and wash their feet in another place. And then we had another word, yatayamun, which means, what does the meaning of yatayamun? Yani, and giving preference to what? Giving preference to the right over the left. Yani, washing the right first before the left, right side before the left side, or right hand before the left hand, and so on, like this. Naam, so this is like summary of what we talked about last week, and we also made some notes, yani, concerning this description, a couple of little notes, if anybody can remember any of them. Yani, concerning this description here, we said that we should add to this something, like for example, yani, it mentions here pouring water over the head, it mentions here pouring water over the whole body, and then pouring water over the head 3 times. What do we say about that? And does anybody remember the actual hadith that we read, the hadith of Aisha, the hadith of Maymuna? It said what? That he rubbed his hands, yani, with wet hands to the scalp of his head to make sure that the water reached the root of the hair, and then he poured water over his head 3 times, and then, yani, in reference to this point right here, yani, in other words, the point is that here in our description it says, yani, يُفِيدُ الْمَا عَلَى بَدْنِهِ وَيَحْثِي الْمَا عَلَى رَأْسِهِ ثَلَاثًا. And they pour water over his body and then his head. And in reality, in all the narrations of the hadith, mentions that he pour water over his head first and then the rest of the body. All right, so just try to keep that in mind. And we also said concerning the washing of the feet, we said what? Yeah, we read two different hadith, right? Both of them are authentic hadith from Bukhari and Muslim. And we said that in one of them it mentions, yani, in the hadith of Aisha it mentions what?
At the end.
Okay, in one of the narrations it mentions that he washed the feet at the end. But in the other narration, what do we understand from, yani, yatawadda, yani, tawadda kama yatawadda lilwudu? Now he performed ablution the way he performed ablution for salat, which means what? The whole ablution. So some of the scholars understand that the ablution here as a part of ghusl is including washing the feet, and some understand from the other narration that that should be understood in light of what? That he made wudu, yes, but he washed the feet at the end. And then Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman Ali Bassam rahimahullah, he said that yani the reconciliation or jam, yani how we combine these two apparent what could appear to be a contradiction, he said that perhaps yani he washed his feet yani in the process of ablution, the whole ablution including the feet, and then he washed it again yani in the end because if there was a need to do so. Alright, so yani both of these opinions are strong opinions, and they're from the people of Sunnah, and this yani final view is really like the combining what appears to be contradictory and making harmony between them, so that yani we can follow both hadith, yani that he made wudu, complete wudu like the wudu for salat, and he also washed his feet at the end, and if, especially if there's a need to do so. And of course, if you're taking a ghusl in the desert, there will be a need to move from that place and wash your feet again. Alright, let's look at the questions for this section. The first question on page 9, Tamarin, it says, question number 1, Uktub Sifatul Ghusl Min Al Janabati. Uktub Sifatul Ghusl Min Al Janabati. Meaning? What is the meaning of the question? Write the description of ghusl min al janaba. Okay, so yani that's a writing exercise. We're not going to write here now. Maybe you already wrote it at home, or you'll write it when you go back home, or wherever you're going from here, at your own time, right? But we want to talk about it. Again, we just talked about it, right, in brief. Can somebody give us a complete, somebody else, give us a complete description of the ghusl? Mustafa, you gave us one, mashallah, jazakallah khair. Somebody else help us. Somebody else. Do the best you can. We help you as you go along. Just start. Yani, look, sometimes something like this, ghusl, we perform ghusl all the time, right? Maybe every day, sometimes more than once a day. And many times throughout the course of a week, we're making ghusl. So we are familiar with this. But sometimes when you stand in front of the people or sitting in front of the people, you get a little yani, nervous and you forget, right? So we're going to help you. Don't worry. If you forget, we'll help you. Now, somebody. Somebody. Okay, shall I appoint somebody? Huh? No, don't read it. We don't want you to read it. We want you to tell it, explain it to us. Naam. Naam. Okay, yes. We're going to help you. Don't worry, we're going to help you. But probably you don't need no help. But in case, if you get nervous and you forget, then we're going to remind you. Huh? Okay. Fadl.
You start with it.
Intention? Make intention. And where's that intention done? How is it done?
In your heart.
In the heart. You don't have to say anything. It's intention in the heart. Naam. After that?
Bismillah.
Okay, then you're going to say Tasmiyah. Yeah, you're going to say Bismillah. Naam. Naam.
Well, after that, you go to the washing of the private parts.
Okay, before washing the private parts, first thing, wash the two hands, right? Wash the hands, and then wash the private parts, and then?
After that, you should start to make your wudu.
Okay, start to make wudu. Start to make wudu. Complete wudu. Now, okay? Okay, so you perform wudu. After that?
After that, like how you said, you rub the
hands. Rub the hands into the head, to the scalp of the hair, right? And when you become sure, certain, yani, that you have reached the scalp and wet the scalp, then you're going to pour water 3 times over your head. After that?
You wash the whole right side.
Wash the right side of the body.
Left side.
And the left side of the body, giving preference to the right over the left. You're gonna wash the whole body, but giving preference to the right over the left. Uh huh. And then,
after that, you do the feet.
And then after that, you're gonna do the feet.
You do
the
feet, yeah.
Again, faith. Jay, ahsan. There's one point that I want to mention that we forgot. We mentioned last week. Did anybody read the hadith? I read the hadith to you somewhat, yani quickly, in the end of the class last week. But did anybody receive that description of those two hadith? Description of the hadith of Aisha and Maymunah? Does anybody remember something that's mentioned in those hadith that we didn't mention that's not here in this description? Huh? Yeah, one is more specific in certain area, and the other one is more specific in another area. Okay? But there's something that we didn't mention today at all. And that is, okay, put the water in mouth and nose, yani, either separately or together at the same time. It's better to do them both at the same time, one handful of water for mouth and nose, because that's the last practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Huh? No, we're saying during the process of ablution, al-wudu. But I'm saying there's something that we didn't mention today at all. Now,
is that when you, after you wash your private part, you...
Naam, to clean the hands, right, to rub the hands, the Prophet ﷺ rubbed his hands on the ground,
right,
or on the wall, right, to remove the what was left over from the effects of washing the private part. He would rub that hand that he used to wash the private, the left hand, he would rub it on the ground, rub it on the wall, to remove the after effects of it before making ablution, before making wudu. Alright, so we just want to mention that. It's not in our description here, but it is in the hadith. I sent the hadith to the class, so I hope that everybody should have received it. But I know some people don't read the emails, no problem. Okay, description of wudu. Second question. Ayya adwin yagsilu al-mughtasilu min al-janabati fi bidayat al-ghusli. Ayya, yani with fatta. Ayya, mansoob, right? Why is it mansoob? Ayya adwin. Maf'ulun bi, from which verb? Wa alaykum salam. Yaghsilu. It is the maf'ulun bi of yaghsilu. Yaghsilu ayya adwin. Yani ayya adwin yaghsilu al-mughtasilu min al-janabati fi bidayat al-ghusli. Okay, what is the meaning of this question? Which body part? Which member of the body? The mughtasil. What is the mughtasil? The one who's performing ghusl,
right,
which body part does he yaghsilu, wash, min al janaba? When he's taking ghusl from al janaba, which part does he wash? Fi in bidayatil ghusli. In the beginning of the ghusl. Yani ayya means which? Other one, part or member of the body or limb. Yaghsilu, he washes. Who washes? Al mughtasilu min al janaba, the one who's taking a ghusl from janaba. Which part does he wash? Fi bidayati al-ghusli, in the beginning of the ghusl. Which member of the body, which limb, which part of the body does he wash in the beginning of the ghusl? Naam, ya Ibrahim.
He washes his hands and then the private part.
He washes his hands in the beginning and then the private parts. Yaghsilu, yani kaffayhi, thalathan, yani qabla al-istinja. Naam. Question number 3. Bi ayyi. Yani ayyi here is majroor, right? Bi ayyi yadin yasubbu al-ma'a. Bi ayyi yadin yasubbu al-ma'a. What is the meaning of the question first?
Which hand?
Bi ayyi yadin. Yani bi here, the ba is what? Meaning, huh? That he's using. Yani ba here is using the instrument, right? Bi ayyi yadin. Which hand is he using? Yani yasubbu al-ma'a to pour the water. Which hand is he using? To pour the water.
Al-Yameen.
Naam. Al-Yameen. وَبِأَيِّ يَدٍ يَغْسِلُ فَرْجَهُ. What is the meaning of the question first? With which hand? Is he washing the private parts? Notice that this word فَرْجَهُ يعني is with sukoon. Please make a note that فَرْجَهُ is with sukoon on the ra. Yani fa fatta ra sukoon, because yani faraj with fatta is a different word altogether. Farajun means joy or happiness, and farajun means the private part. So pay attention, there's no voweling in this word, so make sure you vowel it. Fa with fatta, ra with sukoon. Ra with sukoon. Farjahu. Bi ayyi yadin yaghsilu farjahu. Which hand does he use to wash the private part? Hashimal. Al-Yasar, naam, the left, al-Shimal. Type number 4, kam marratan yahthi ala ra'sihi. What is the meaning of the question? Kam marratan. How many times does he pour water over his head or her head? Yani, how many times? Yani, yahthi ala ra'sihi thalatha marratin. Thalatha marratin, 3 times. On page 10, the last question from this section, yani from the first group of questions, أين يغسل قدميه؟ أين يَغْسِلُ قَدَمَيْهِ. What is the meaning of the question? First. Where does he wash his two feet? قَدَمَيْهِ. And the origin of the word قَدَمَيْهِ is two words, right? There's a noun and there's a pronoun. The noun originally here in this word is what? قَدَمَيْن. 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 يعني قدمين is the same as قدمان, right? But قدمين here, why is it قدمين instead of قدمان? Okay, it's dual, but قدمان is dual and قدمين is dual. Both of them are dual. because it's مفعول B. Because it's مفعول B, and مفعول B is منسوب. So you have قدمين. قدمان is when it's what? مرفوع. But here it's مفعول B, it's the object of the verb. يغسل قدميه. So it's مفعول به منسوب. The sign that it's منسوب is the ya in قدمين, يعني, and the noon from قدمين is deleted because of what?
Because of
إضافة. So the noon from قدمين became قدمي, and the who, the pronoun who, third person masculine singular, became he because of what? Because of the the ya with sukoon. Yani who becomes he whenever it's preceded by ya with sukoon or kasra. Or kasra. Five. After that, so now the answer to the question, where does he wash his two feet? Now, في مكان آخر. في مكان آخر. In another place than where he was standing. Okay, second group of questions. Question number one. هاتي ماضي الأفعال الآتية. هاتي ماضي الأفعال الآتية. What does it mean in the question?
Give the
ماضي, meaning what? Past tense of the following verbs. Of the following verbs. الأفعال الآتية. Okay. Somebody give us the present tense first, and then give us, they've given us the present tense. Read the present tense and then tell us what is the past tense. And the meaning of it, Musa. And the meaning.
Yasubbu,
the past tense is sabba with shadda. Yasubbu, yani the mudari verb has shadda also. Yasubbu with shadda on the ba, and the maadi sabba. Yasubbu, yani the maadi for it should be sabba. يصب صب. That's the past tense. And it means what?
To pour.
Okay, somebody take the next one. Next one, Mustafa.
Yahshi.
Is that she or thi?
Thi.
Yahthi. Yahthi. Hatha. 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 The past tense is hatha. يحثي حثى يعني يحثي حثى 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 يحثي حثى with ألف مقصورة يعني in the مضارع it has ياء in the past tense it has ألف مقصورة and remember يعني okay no problem that's a little bit advanced for this class I'm sorry this is second level now Hatha, okay? What's the next one? Somebody, what is the meaning of hatha?
To pour
or to sprinkle or to spread water over something, right? Okay, third one. Past tense, present tense, and meaning. Mustafa, other Mustafa.
That's
yufidu. Yufidu with dhamma, kasra, sukoon, and dhamma. Yufidu. Naam, in the past tense? It's not fadda. Fadda is fadda, yufad. Nice. This one, يفيد, is from the باب of مزيد أفعل. باب أفعل. Look, here it is right here, right? A father. Like أقام. أقام يقيم. نعم. A father يفيد. I don't have one here. A father يفيد. A father means what? To pour a lot of water. يعني over something. A father يفيد.
A father.
Okay, the next word. Somebody tell us any past tense, present tense, and the meaning. Somebody. Nab Abdul Haq. Yani, okay, the Mudari is Yatawadda'u. Yatawadda'u with Shadda on the Dad. Yatawadda'u. And the past tense? Yani, look, if it's Yatawadda'u, Ya is the Harf Mudara, right? So after that comes Ta, right? Tawadda'a, yani yatawadda'u, yani the past tense, tawadda'a, yatawadda'u. Question? Yani remember, if you have a mudari verb, the mudari verb has a harf mudara'a, right? The harf mudara'a is ya, or ta, or noon, or hamza, right? So if you want to get the madi, you have to take off the harf mudara. That letter is added for the mudari, right? So when you take that off, yani from yatawadda'u, after the ya, you have tawadda'a. Okay, means to what? Perform ablution. Okay, second question. Hat jam'a al-asma al-atiya. Hat jam'a al-asma al-atiya. Meaning? Give the plurals of the following nouns. Okay, give us the first word. Its meaning and its plural. Musa. Farujun. And its plural? Furujun. Its meaning?
Private.
The private part. Naam. Second word.
I have two plurals.
Okay. What's the other plural?
Furuj.
Furuj?
Furuj. Furuj.
Yani with Dhamma Dhamma?
No. One is wow, one is not wow.
Yeah, I'm saying. It's yani the vowel and you're saying is Dhamma Dhamma. Furuj. Like Furul?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright. Qadam. Next one. Next word.
Qadam.
Yeah, what is the meaning and what is the plural?
Oh, that's
feet. Foot. Naam, fadl.
Qadam.
Naam, the singular Qadamun means what?
Foot.
And the plural?
Feet.
Feet Aqdamun. With sukoon on the qaf, aqdamun. And the last word, badan. Naam, badanun, and its plural is abdan. What is the meaning of badan? The body. Bodun? Five. Anyway, this is the more common plural. That's mostly you're going to see abdan and akdam. Five. This is the end of the exercises for this lesson, and we will look at the new lesson. Somebody have the time. Is this time right here?
Yes.
Is that time right?
Yes.
It's right? Okay, so we have a few minutes. We're going to just take a quick look at the new lesson. And next week we'll do this lesson, but today we're going to just go over it a little bit quickly so we could look at it during the week. There are quite a few exercises here, but in any case, let's look at the main part of the lesson on page 10. The fourth subject, that is As-salawatu al-maktubatu. As-salawatu al-maktubatu. What is the meaning? As-salawatu al-maktubatu. Naam, the obligatory prayers. Maktuba mean mafruda. The meaning of maktuba here, mafruda. Yani, kutiba alaykum, yani furida alaykum.
To prescribe.
Yani, naam. Okay, so we're talking about here, salawat al-maktuba. We're talking about which prayers are they? What prayers are we talking about? The five obligatory daily congregational prayers. The five daily congregational prayers. As-salawat al-maktuba. Alright? So, he says here, as-salawatu. Yani, next week we'll go over this. Yani, take our time. But today we're going to just cover it so that you have chance to review it during the week. As-salawatu al-maktubatu khamsun. What is the meaning? The five obligatory prayers. Five here is a not
no,
describing?
The
look, the as-salawat is the mubtada. Al-maktuba is a not. And the khabar is khamsun. So the meaning here is, the obligatory prayers are five. The obligatory prayers are five. Wahiya, and they are. Here is feminine singular, but it means they here. Why?
Because
it's referring back to a plural for غير عاقل. And the plural for غير عاقل, we treat it as though it's feminine singular. And if you use the ism ishara, use feminine singular. If you use the pronoun, use feminine singular. If you use a verb, use feminine singular form of the verb. Alright? Wahiya means they. Yani the five prayers. They are Salatul Fajri. Which is what? The dawn prayer. The prayer of dawn time. Wahiya Rakatani. And it is, yani that prayer, it is two rak'ah. Yani rakatani is muthanna, dual, right? Hiya rakatani. In this sentence, hiya rakatani. Yani what is the i'rab of rakatani here? Rakatani. Hiya rakatani. What is the i'rab of rakatani here? Mafulun bi. Where's the verb at?
It's marfoon.
Okay, why is it marfoon? And one of the reasons that a word could be marfoon, the obvious, most obvious reason is that it's going to be mubtada or khabar or fa'il. That's the most obvious reason. So you're saying that, yani he's saying that it's mubtada. Okay, where's the khabar? If it's mubtada, where's the khabar? If rakatani is mubtada, where's the khabar? This is not very difficult. I know we're getting tired now. We've been here for a few hours, right? Some of us have been here since 12 o'clock. And what'd you say, Musa? Thank you, brother. Here is the mubtada. Here is mubtada. Rakatani is the khabar. Mubtada khabar. Mubtada khabar. Yani here, rakatani. It is, yani meaning Salatul Fajr, it is two rak'ah. Okay? So the i'rab of rakatani is what? Is khabar. Finish. Marfu'un. And the sign that it's marfu'un, alamatu rafi. Alif, why? Lianna muthanna. Because it is muthanna, because it's dual. So the sign that is marfoon is not dhamma, it's alif. And if it was majroor or mansoob, the sign of it being majroor or mansoob for muthanna would be what?
Yeah.
Salatul Fajr, wa hiya raka'atani. Wa waqtuha min tulu' al fajri al thani ila tulu' al shamsi. Wa waqtuha, meaning? It's time. The time for it. Min tulu' al-fajri al-thani. The coming of the dawn. But which dawn though? Al-fajr al-thani. The second. Meaning the true dawn. Yani min tulu' al-fajri. From the break of dawn, the true dawn. The second dawn. Al-thani ila tulu' al-shamsi. Until the rising of the sun, the appearance or the rising of the sun. So its time is from the true dawn, the second dawn, right, up until the rising of the sun. So if a person prayed before the true dawn, right, would their prayer be accepted?
No.
No, because what? Because from the shurut, yani preconditions for the validity of prayer, from its preconditions, has to be done in its time. So this is important. Its time is what? From the true dawn until sunrise. So what if a person prays Fajr after sunrise? Is it accepted? If he was sleeping. If he forgot, right? No. The person forgot and they remember, they pray when they remember. The person was sleeping, they pray when they wake up. No. The person was under compulsion, they pray when they are free. But its time is this time. And nobody should take this matter lightly. Because according to some of the scholars, if a person willingly, knowingly, consciously just prays the prayer out of his time, it's not even valid. Because this is a precondition for the validity of Salat. Now,
I always thought that when a prayer goes out, you make an accord, that no matter what, even if it's the prayer, you can make the prayer up, you can make a prayer for that prayer.
That's a different issue altogether. Now, but in any case, there's a difference of opinion about that. But what's important is that if a person missed a prayer for a legitimate reason, then they pray when that reason is absent. If they missed it without any legitimate reason, then khalas, they just missed the prayer. There's no making up of it. And it's repentance. repentance and trying to do good deeds, that yani الحسنات يذهبنا السيئات. Now, do as whatever. Yani, especially some of the scholars say, especially from the same type, from the same jinns. Yani, if a person missed out on zakat or something related to wealth, then they should try to do good deeds related to wealth and so on like this. طيب, after this, second prayer was Salatul Dhuhri. Yani, which prayer is this? Salatul Dhuhr. Yani, the prayer that's performed, yani, noontime, pretty much. Yani, pretty much noontime, now. Yani, when the sun begins to decline a little. وَهِيَ أَرْبَعُ رَكَعَاتٍ And it is four rakat. وَوَقْتُهَا مِنْ زَوَالِ الشَّمْسِ وَوَقْتُهَا مِنْ زَوَالِ الشَّمْسِ And it's time زَوَالِ الشَّمْسِ Meaning when the sun is directly overhead, right? That's yani, that's what you call it? Zenith. When it begins to decline from there a little. When it begins to decline a little, not when the sun is at its zenith, but when it begins to decline, من زوال الشمس إلى أن يصير ظل كل شيء مثله إلى يعني up until أن يصير أن يصير means to become. When something becomes, يعني what is it? What is the فعل of يصير ظل يعني when the ظل يعني the shade of كل شيء of everything. يَصِيرُ becomes مِثْلَهُ like it. Yani when the shade or the shadow of a thing becomes مِثْلَهُ mean like it, the same length. Yani, in other words, if you were standing in the sun or there was something out in the sun, and when the sun is beginning to decline, it will make a little bit of shadow from that object, whatever it is, if it has some height, and then the shadow of the object will continue to get larger as the sun begins to decline. And when the shadow of the object is equal to the actual length of that object, that's what we mean by حَتَّى يَسِيرُ ذِلُّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِثْلَهُ At that point, that's the end of the time of Dhuhr. When the shadow of a thing is equal to its length. According to Hanafi Madhab, they have a different opinion based on a hadith that is misinterpreted, clearly misinterpreted. In any case, this is what is correct. Yani, and there are other proofs proving that the time of Dhuhr is up until the shadow of an object is equal to its length. Equal to its length. Now, وَصَلَاتُ الْعَصْرِ وَصَلَاتُ الْعَصْرِ And the Asr prayer, any, وَهِيَ أَرْبَعُ رَكَعَاتٍ And it is four raka'ah, four units, وَوَقْتُهَا مِنْ صَيْرُورَةِ ذِلِّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِثْلَهُ مِنْ صَيْرُورَةِ Yani sayrura it means and it's from sara yasiru means yani the act or the process of something becoming yani developing into something else. So the meaning of it here wa waqtuha min sayrurati adhil yani when the shadow of a something becomes changes yani it becomes yani like equal to the thing yani dhilli kulli shay'in mithlahu when the shade the shadow of something becomes equal to it. Yani, that's what we just said about the Dhuhr prayer, right? That's the end of the time of Dhuhr prayer, and it's the beginning of the time of the Asr prayer. And it's the beginning of the time of the Asr prayer. And on the next page, yani page 11, yani up until what? Ila ghurub al-shamsi. Yani, so the Asr prayer, its time is up until the sunset. Ghurub al-shamsi. Yani, until the sun sets. Or, what we mean literally by the sunset, we mean that, yani, if you were looking across the horizon and you see the sun coming down, right, breaking the horizon, when it's completely out of sight. Yani, when the top edge of the sun is completely out of sight, below the horizon, that's what we mean by Ghurub al-Shams. And of course, when the sun is getting close to setting and the color of the sun becomes very dark, like orange color, like that time, close to the sunset, is, yani, the time that person should not pray. This is a time that is detestable for a person to wait to perform the Asr prayer at that time. And at the time when the sun is actually setting, yani the bottom disk of the sun has broken the horizon, has went below a little bit, from that time until it's completely below the actual time of sunset, it's prohibited to pray. In any case, so its time is what? Its time is up until the actual sun sets, or yani becomes out of sight. وَصَلَاتُ الْمَغْرِبِ And the prayer of Maghrib, وَهِيَ ثَلَاثُ رَكَعَاتٍ and it is 3 rak'ah, وَوَقْتُهَا مِنْ غُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ, and its time is from the setting of the sun, and we're talking about Maghrib, begins with the setting of the sun. Once the sun has gone completely below the horizon, this is the beginning of the time of Maghrib, إِلَى مَغِيبِ الشَّفَقِ الْأَحْمَرِ. يعني مغيبي means, يعني the setting, يعني the disappearance, the absence or setting of the sun. مغيبي الشفق, يعني, but here we're not talking about مغيبي الشمس, we're talking about مغيبي الشفقي الأحمري. What is الشفق الأحمر? يعني the redness, the red glow in the sky, that is the, يعني the evening glow that's left from the sun, called the twilight, it's called dusk. يعني you say from dusk to dawn or from dawn to dusk, right? Meaning that when that redness that's left in the sky, after the sun has set, you can see the redness in the sky from the sun, right? You don't see the sun, but you see the redness from the sun. When that is gone, مغيبي الشفق الأحمر, that's the end of the time of Maghrib. Think about this for a minute. That's the end of the time of Maghrib. According to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, there's more than one hadith that mentioned this. This is the end of the hadith in which, يعني the angel Jibril came to the Prophet ﷺ and showed him the times of the prayer in 2 days. The beginning in the first day of each prayer and the end of the second day, prayed the Maghrib prayer at the same time both days. Showing the shortness of the time of Maghrib. And if anybody goes out on a clear day and watch the sunset and watch the red glow in the sky disappear, you will see that the time for the Maghrib prayer is over long before the times that they have on the calendars for praying the Isha prayer. Long before that time. Long before that time. In any case, yani now we don't want to get stuck on that. We only have a couple of minutes left. Next week we'll talk about this in a little more detail. The point is that this is the actual time. We'll try to bring some of the hadith yani related to this topic also, so it'll be crystal clear. And we covered these hadith when we're doing Ta'zim al-Salat. Huh? If anybody remembers, we talked about this in some detail. Those hadith, we talk about the times of the prayer. So this is, yani, the time, the end of the time for Maghrib is when the red glow from the evening twilight disappears from completely from the sky. Wa salat al-Isha'i, and the Isha prayer. Wa hiya arba'u raka'atin, and it is 4 rak'at. Wa waqtuha, or 4 units, and its time is من مغيب الشفق الأحمر, from the beginning, I mean from the time, yani the beginning of the time of Isha is from the time of the absence, the disappearance of the red glow in the sky from the setting of the sun. When that red glow is gone, this is the beginning of the time of Isha, and its time is إلى نصف الليل, yani until the middle of the night. The middle of the night, and the middle of the night does not mean midnight, it means the middle of the night, yani counting the time from Maghrib till Fajr. And if you count the hours from Maghrib to Fajr, and some nights it might be 8 hours, and other nights it might be 12 hours. So the middle of the night is not going to be midnight all the time. Okay? Unless the hours between Maghrib and Fajr are the, yani it's the equal, a number that will be divided in half, yani equally, then we'll say midnight. Okay? But in any case, the point is here that we mean the middle of the night, meaning halfway through the time between Maghrib and Fajr. Okay, and some of the narrations mention a third of the night. In any case, yani there are scholars who have different opinions about this, and yani now is not the time to go into the details, but the point is that some scholars say that every prayer is up until the beginning of the next prayer, which would mean the time of yani Isha will be up until Fajr, right? But according to the hadith that's authentic, it's up to one half of the night or one third of the night, not up until Fajr. So nobody should delay the Isha prayer up until Fajr. Unless a person was under circumstances out of their control, then you know Allah knows best what our condition is. This is the, and this is the end of what we wanted to read from this. Next week we'll go over this in detail. Just quickly, the exercises. The first exercise, quickly. It says, I'm not going to read the Arabic. It says, mention the 5 prayers and the number of their rak'ah, the number of rak'ah of each one of them. The second question says, how many rak'ah are Salatul Maghrib? The third question, how many rak'ah are Salatul Fajr? The fourth question, mention the time for each prayer, each of the 5 prayers. Number 5, complete the naqis fima ya'ati. The naqis means, yani what's missing in the sentence. There's a blank space there, what's missing. Complete it means fill in the blank spaces. Next question, yani waqt salatum, oh no, that's the same thing, fill in the blank spaces. And then on the next page, yani there's 1, 2, 3, yani 4 of these questions like this. And then there's another set of questions under ba, give the plural of the following nouns. And then number 2, read the example and complete the naqis, yani that which is missing. ala ghirarihi means upon its same pattern. The same pattern as the example. Wadbut al-kalimat bishakil, and make sure that you vowelize, yani the words, with vowels, meaning put the vowels in completely. The example that they gave us here, if you look at it, yani they gave us the word raka'atun, and this is what you have to do in each one of them. On this example, on this one here, you got to take the singular word raka'atun, and then you got to give the dual of it, raka'atani, and then you got to give the plural of it, thalathu raka'at or arba'u raka'at. You have to do the same thing with safha, safhatun. You have to give the dual safhatani, and then the plural safahat, and darbatun, and so on, and marratun. And the last question, number 3, is akmil al-kalimat al-atiyah. Yani they give us some words. The words are not complete. You have to complete the word. Give the full, yani form of the word. So, inshallah, for homework, yani next week, please try to review what we covered today and preview, yani, or look over and try to do some of the exercises on page 11 and 12 for as-salawat al-maktuba. Any question? Does the same rule apply for wiping the socks? Meaning what? Which rule?
Like when you do the in the morning when you leave, you make wudu and you.
Okay, if you made wudu and you washed your feet with water,
right,
and then you put your socks on while you're in a state of purification,
right?
Uh huh. Then what?
No, okay. You go. You don't need to.
Oh, you don't need to take your socks off.
Right.
Ghusl?
Right.
Oh, does that apply to ghusl?
Right.
No, al-mas al-kufayn, wiping of the socks, is only applicable to minor state of impurity. Okay, so if a person, relieve themselves, urinate, defecate, or anything like this past wind, then if they had washed their feet with water and put socks on in the morning, afternoon, or evening, any time of day or night, once they wash their feet, in making ablution, they wash their feet with water, and then they put their socks on, of whatever type of socks they are, it doesn't really matter, there's no proof for other than that. And once they put those socks on, there's no need for the next prayer, and the third one, and the next one, that every time you go to the masjid, you take your socks off and wash your feet. That is not from the sunnah. Rather, that is mukhalif as-sunnah. That's contrary to the sunnah. Yani, what we find, many of the people from certain countries, not from one country, from a lot of different countries, doing, is not from the sunnah. Taking off your socks for every ablution is not from the sunnah. Rather, this is contrary to the sunnah.
But for ghusl,
you have to take your socks off because you have to wash with water every part of the body.
No, I know, but after you do, and you go with your socks, you go to... Like,
you're saying that if you made ghusl,
right,
and you washed your feet in the ghusl and you put your socks on...
And you go, like you do it in the morning, and you go, like, the fire...
You go to Fajr prayer.
And you go to masjid.
You go to the masjid.
Right, for the khutbah.
Okay, for Jumu'ah.
Do you need to
take your socks off?
Yeah.
No, you don't take your socks off. Maybe I'm missing the question.
He's asking, okay,
when you do ghusl, you're talking about
you do ghusl. When you do ghusl, do you have ghusl?
Right,
that's the first question.
Well,
you can wipe over after you do the ghusl for the prayer during the day?
Yes. Yeah, and if you do ghusl, right, the way we describe ghusl today,
right,
if you do a ghusl like that, you are in a complete state of purification.
Right.
You put your socks on in that condition, you don't have to take your socks off anymore for a period of a day and a night. And that time does not start when you made the ghusl or the wudu. It does not start when you invalidated your wudu. It starts when you used the permission to wipe over the socks. The first time you wiped over your socks, from that time, for a day and a night, 24 hours, from that time, it's permissible for you to just wipe over your socks. No matter if you put those socks on, washing your feet with water, in wudu or in ghusl, it doesn't matter. As long as you wash your feet when you put those socks on, yani, as long as you wash your feet when you put those socks on, once you actually apply the permission of wiping over your socks, whether it's 1 hour later or 10 hours later, that's when the time starts, a day and a night from that time. And this is the opinion of most of the scholars of Sunnah, including Al-Imam Nawawi. He said in the explanation of Sahih Muslim, contrary to our madhab, meaning contrary to the Shafi'i madhab, what is more correct according to evidence is that the time begins when a person uses that permission. Contrary to our madhab. Naam. And this shows the scholars of Sunnah, and they don't just blindly follow their madhab. Rather, they follow the evidence. Naam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shalom la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.